Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Hey, he says, be filled with the Spirit of God. That word, be filled, is not a word that we use just once. It means be perpetually filled with the Spirit of God. It means be continually filled with the Spirit of God. For it is when you are filled with the Spirit of God, that's when things become easy. That's when the love walk becomes easy. This isn't my message. I'm just flowing. Hallelujah. When you are filled with the Spirit of God, you can do the impossible. And when you know the Spirit that you carry, you can do great exploits. You see, the reason why we are walking as mere men, it's because we do not know the Spirit that we carry. The Spirit of God lodges, resides, and lives in the recreated human spirit. As long as you are born again in this place, and by born again, I mean that you have Jesus in you, and as your Lord, you have a new spirit, a different spirit inside. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if any man be in Christ, it didn't say if any man be in the church. Mm-mm. It didn't say if any man be in the choir. It didn't say if any man be in an association of speakers or pastors. It says if any man, including female man, including woman, man, including blacks, man, including whites, man, including Asians, man, including wherever you fall within the spectrum of color or race or ethnicity. It says if any man be in this person called Christ, it's a new creature. Woo! New. Completely new. Hallelujah. Amen. Completely new. A species that never existed before. You are no longer the broken jalopy that's parked in the garage. You are a brand new Ferrari. Hallelujah. That never existed. Brand new. Hallelujah. That's who you are. I'm speaking to your spirit. You know, God told me, he said, never preach from your head. Preach from your spirit. Because if you preach from your head, the people will take it, they receive the word from their head. And if they receive the word from their head, there will be a lot of fighting in the head. Because in the area, on the arena of the head, there's a lot of questions and conflicts. But in the arena of the spirit, there's acceptance. That's why anything you plant in your spirit produces. If you plant negative things in your spirit, it will produce. If you plant positive things in your spirit, it will produce. So I'm not going to preach from my head. I preach from my spirit. Hallelujah. From my spirit. You see, when God created you and I, he says he made us to be like him. The Bible says God is spirit. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him the same way. Not from their head. Not from their intellect. Not from their background. Not from their experiences. They must worship him in spirit and in truth. Just like he is. Hallelujah. You see, when God made man, we think that God made the body first. By the way, man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in a body. When God created man, God didn't make the body first. The Bible says in Genesis 1:26, it says, let us make man in our own image and likeness. I hope you know that God doesn't have a physical body. God is a spirit. He has spiritual or celestial body. Hallelujah. And so when God made, Holy Spirit, I'm yielding to you. I didn't plan this. I'm yielding to you. Hallelujah. When God made man, the Bible says he created man from a spirit. The word created there means something created from a substance that never existed before. That tells me that God made us from his being. He gave birth to man. The spirit of man he created from a substance that never existed. Or, correction, the substance existed in him. Hallelujah. We came from God. Hallelujah. But then he now says in Genesis chapter 2 that God made man. First he created man, but then now he's saying he made man in Genesis chapter 2. And he says he formed man from the dust, right? And then breathed into man like a person blowing into a balloon. And man became a living or a speaking spirit. That's what the Bible says. So that tells me there were two processes for creation. There was one process that was spiritual. That's why the Bible says that even before you were formed in your mother's womb, even before your physical body was created and fashioned and formed, there was a creation that occurred in God. That's why God knows you. Let me tell you, the name you are answering right now is not even your real name. That's the name your parents gave you. And I'm hoping that they were in the spirit when they gave you that name. Because they could be calling you a name that God never called you. And so what is happening and has been happening in people is this loss of identity. They are answering to a name that God never called them. They are answering to a call that God never orchestrated. He created us from his spirit and then later he made the flesh. That is why when a person dies, the flesh goes back to where it comes from and the spirit goes back to the realm that it came from. When you see someone that has passed on or crossed on, they look dead, right? What does death mean? Death means separation. Their physical body has been separated from their spirit, the real person that is inside of them. You just try this exercise when you get home. Look at the mirror and look intently. You begin to see that your eyes, you do not see with your eye, you see through your eyes. You begin to see that your eyes are the windows of your soul. If you just stare intently into that mirror, you begin to see that you are more than what you see. You are more than what you see. Because God created you and I from himself. Hallelujah. Created you and I from himself. And you see, when we go back to that realm, when we go back to that realm, and we meet him, I'm talking about the believer now, we will answer to our real name. And it is those that know God that he reveals their real names to. I can't imagine going around the world and not even answering your name. Whew. You were a child. Let's give this illustration. You were a child of Gates. By Gates, I mean Bill Gates. The richest man in the world. But somewhere along the line, somebody came to convince you that you are now a child of Yates. Yates is just a generic name I just concocted now. But all your life you are answering to Yates. Yates, come here. Yates, come here. Yates, come here. And you are living like a Yates. Instead of you to live like a Gates. Whoo! I was sharing in the foundation school today. By the way, happy anniversary to our pastors. Today is Pastor Lan and Pastor Debo's wedding anniversary. We appreciate you, pastors. I know they are watching. We love you, and you are an example to us. And God will continue to bless you richly. I thank God, and I bless the day personally that I met you. And I'll be touching on some of those things. I know the Holy Spirit will lead me there because I know he will lead me to what some of the things I wrote down. But I'm flowing in this direction. I feel this is what the Spirit of God is telling me to speak right now, and I'll flow in that direction. Now, foundation school, I was telling them a story, about a true story, about a couple that my dad took me to visit. We went to visit them. I was a teenager. In that house, they had a cat and a dog. The dog was a big dog, a German Shepherd. The cat was a little cat. And at first, I was surprised to find that dogs and cats could coexist. I didn't think that dogs and cats could coexist. But this was my first experience seeing a dog and a cat living in the same house. After all, I watched Tom and Jerry. And Tom, the cat, always had that dog that was on his neck. So this was a strange phenomenal occurrence, if you will, that I was witnessing. And so the owners of the house told us that this dog you are seeing here was actually raised by this cat. They got this dog as a puppy when this cat had some kitten. And the dog, because it didn't have any mother, would go to this, the dog would go to this cat for milk. And the dog continued to drink from this cat until the dog began to become big, too big for the cat to suckle. And they said the first day this dog heard another dog bark, the dog was confused. Because it was always spending time with cats. All it heard was meow, 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 meow. That finally one day when it heard, it was looking. What? He was looking for who was barking. And he was looking for what was going on. Then finally, hallelujah, thank God for finally. Thank God, you know, we don't remain in ignorance forever. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God for the revelation knowledge of God's word. This dog began to realize that I'm a dog, I'm not a cat. Oh, I'm not a cat. I'm not supposed to be meowing around. I'm supposed to be barking. And so the dog just simply became comfortable in his own skin. And he began to bark. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, that is how many of us are in the body of Christ. We've been living too much with people on the cat level. People on the cat level. We spend too much time with people who are telling us, giving us, or calling us by a different name, calling us by different identity. But listen, you got to just wake up. You got to see that there is a lion in you. You are more than a cat. Open your mouth and begin to roar. Roar because you are the son of the Lion of Judah. You are a child of God. You are a child of God. I'm not no chicken. I'm an eagle. Hallelujah. I'm an eagle. I'm just speaking to your spirit. I'm speaking to your spirit understands what I'm saying or what God is saying. He understands. Oh, yeah, understands because the spirit is neither male nor female. Hallelujah. Masiki Bahata. Ha. You are more than what you see. You are more than who you are. Let me tell you, whoever you are, you are not what you are because of your education. You are not what you are because of your experiences. You are who you are because of whose you are. It's because of God. We don't stand here in confidence because I'm eloquent, because I have some degrees, because I know some things in my head. No. We stand confident because of who is backing us. We watch that cartoon. I don't know why I'm going to cartoons, Lord. And this guy has been bullied all his life. Bullied all his life. Bullied all his life. Then one day, he's passing through a particular path and he's been bullied there. One day, he's walking through that same path. He finds out, before then, he goes and he talks to a cousin of his who's tough. Tough cousin. They know the cousin all over the city, all over. And then the cousin doesn't tell. The cousin says, you know what? Just pass through that same road. Right? At this particular time, don't worry, I'll be there. Don't worry. So this guy is going through the same place, afraid, and he meets the same bullies in the alleyway. And they go, well, what say you? You know, what are you doing here? I'm going to beat you up. And as they are about to attack, they see his cousin walk out. And they drop everything and they begin to run away. And the guy actually begins to feel, ah, wow, I'm doing this. But then he now realizes that, oh, cousin's back there. See, the bullies in your life cannot be destroyed in your own strength. You need extra backing. You need what? You need extra backing. Extra backing so that when you are going through the alley of life where the bullies are, you can stand strong because greater is he that is inside of you than he that is in the world. Hebrews says, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said it. That's what God said. That's God's promise to you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. What does that mean? He says, I will not leave you physically and I will not leave you emotionally. You see, there are some people that are with you physically, but they are away emotionally. They are not connected with you emotionally. They can't identify with your pain. Even though they're there with you physically, they come and they say they want to support. That's how Job's friends were. They were with him physically, but they were not with him emotionally. They could not connect with what he was going through. But thank you, Jesus, because we have a high priest that is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We have a high priest that knows how you feel. They have a high priest that understands when you wake up on the quote and unquote wrong side of the bed, he'll get you back on the right side of the bed. We have a high priest that understands when you are feeling sick, when you are tired and you are weak. We have a high priest that understands when you don't even want to feel like praying. We have a high priest that understands when temptation comes, because the Bible says he went through all these things yet without sin. And that's why he's a prime candidate to be by our side. That's why he's a prime candidate to be trusted. That's why he's a prime candidate to be accepted. That's why he's a prime candidate to be received. That's why he's a prime candidate to be validated. Because he's gone through everything we've gone through. Everything we've gone through. Jesus is not a prayer. Jesus is a person. Why must we treat him like a thing? Why must we treat him like a slot machine? Why must we treat him like something we play in the lotto? Oh, Jesus, you know, man, Jesus. I mean, Jesus right now. Ooh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. If you could just give me this right now. Jesus is a person that needs relationships. Hallelujah. 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 I'm speaking to the new creation in you. Enough of the bullying. Enough of the bullying. You've been bullied emotionally. Enough is enough. You've been bullied financially. Enough is enough. You've been bullied enough. You've been bullied enough. What's a bully? The devil is a bully. He comes and he tells you, you know what? You think you can move away. That's a bully. But you know what? Guess what? None of that. None of that. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. To those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Hallelujah. No condemnation. Condemnation is different from conviction. They're different. Conviction prompts you to go back to God. Condemnation keeps you away from God. God does not condemn you. That's not what he's about. The bully condemns. The bully destroys. The bully inflicts. God is not a bully. That's why no matter how much we spit and we foam in the mouth and we scream and we tell you to do things, that's not how God operates. God never forces anybody to do anything. He won't force you. He won't force you. He won't force you. He won't force you. He won't force you to spend time with him? No. He won't force you to pray? No. He won't force you to have time of worship? No. He won't force you to go and preach? He'll tell you what you should do. He will not force you. Because that's not love. But the bully does that. The bully forces you. The bully pushes you. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to make up your mind today that I'm going to take sides with this person that loves me. And I'm not going to take side with the bully. Who is the bully in your life? What's his name? Can he stand before my God? That's what David saw. Who? David was a young man who was on assignment for his dad. His dad said, go take your brother some food and come and bring me back news on how the war is going. David went there and was hearing this guy, you Israelites are stupid. Who's your God? You've got nobody here. Bring in the fighter and I'll kill him. And he's like, hold on. Who's that fool? That's literally what he was saying. Who is that do you know what he called him? An uncircumcised Philistine. Uncircumcised. Who is that guy? Who's that idiot? Really? Talking against my God? You see, you've got to personalize him for it to work. If it's just God, you know, people say, you know, I read my Bible and I spend time, you know, I just pray. And for you to say my God, God has to know you. That's what Paul was saying. He says that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. He was talking about an intimate knowledge of God. Pastor Lam was preaching about this on Wednesday, epignosis, a revelation of who God is. That's what the Spirit is saying right now. There needs to be an epignosis, a revelation, not head knowledge, not sense knowledge. We are so full of head knowledge that our heads are so big, it's making us fall. Too big. You know it all. You understand it all. But you know what? All the things you know just stay in your head. They don't go down to your spirit where it can actually produce. That's why nothing is happening in the world out there, in your world there, because it hasn't gone from your head to your spirit. There's no revelation. It's just head knowledge. You can quote the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. You can even stand here and preach better than I can preach. You can preach better than Pastor Lan or anybody in the world. But guess what? It's just head. God doesn't know you. He don't know you. Jesus says, it's not everybody that calls me Lord, Lord that I know. It's not about you telling me Lord, Lord, Lord. It's do I know you? Do I have an intimate relationship with you? Hallelujah. An intimate relationship with you. Intimate relationship with you. You can't say you know your wife or your wife knows you if you don't spend time with her. You know what we're doing? You know what we're doing? It's like a man who is married to a wife, and instead of spending time with the wife, says hi and goes and gets a book about his wife and is reading about the wife. That's it. Your wife is in the same house with you, and you just say, hey, what's up? And then you go to your library, and you pick a book titled Wife, and you pull it out. Wife, chapter 1 and verse 1. Your wife is right there. In the beginning, thou hast married a wife. And that means the wife must have some knowledge of what I love to do. Number one, I love to eat. So if she does not prepare food for me at this particular time, then it means she's in error. Where's my food? Where is my food? This is what we do with God. We go, instead of developing a relationship with God, we get a book. The book. There's nothing wrong with the book. I thought about the Bible in foundation class. Very good. The book is the authoritative writing of God. The book is what we have to know what God has said. But the book without the Spirit, the book without the revelation, the book without an intimate connection with Him equals zilch. Nothing. Nada. Zero. He won't know you and you will not produce anything in your life. You take your book and you go and read chapter 1, verse 1, and that's it. No meditation, nothing, no time spent in prayer, no time spent thinking about God. I'm not just talking about praying a religious prayer here. I'm not just talking about following some routine. I'm talking about just having some moments where you are just thinking about God. You are craving for Him. You are talking to Him. I say, Lord, you know, I can't do this without you. You know, my life cannot be complete without you. You know, Lord, you are my all in my all. You know, Lord God, any day, you know what? You're not even ashamed to do it anywhere. You can do it in the car. You can do it when you're even pooping. You can do it anywhere. You just have that intimacy. You see, when you're intimate with someone, you don't care how your shit stink. You don't care. Forget. Sorry about my tone, but that's the truth. Where before I was married, you know, when I went to visit my wife, I made sure that when I go to the bathroom, I flit the place very well so that she doesn't smell. You know what I'm talking about. But when we got married and we became intimate, hey, babe, what's going on? Hey, I can just be free and do whatever I want to do. She can inhale it and like it. I can inhale as I like it. It's fun. It's wonderful. Life is good. Ha ha ha. Because we are intimate. We are intimate. The relationship is not fake. It's not fake. Let's stop having fake relationship with people. Stop having fake relationship with God. It's fake. It's fake. It's fake. Stop being fake. You can be real. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's intimate. So you can be real. You can be real. It's intimate. It's intimate. Hallelujah. It's intimate. You know him. He knows you. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that it is those that know their God that are strong and do great exploits. Hallelujah. Selah. Selah means think. Think. Let it marinate. Selah. Do you know God? And does he know you? David knew God. So he said, this guy that is talking is a bully. And I'm going to bully him back. Not because of... You see, the story of David is very interesting, because when his brothers, number one, he wasn't old enough to be in the army. He wasn't. Because if he was old enough to be in the army, he would have been there. That's the type of person. And he was too young to be in the army. So when his brothers saw him, they were like, what's going on here? Why are you here? Who is taking care of the sheep? He said, there's somebody there. I left the place in charge. I left somebody in charge of them. So they're fine. That's smart leadership. When you are a leader, you must never leave a place without putting somebody there to look after what you've done. He understood it. He said, if somebody's there taking care of it. And they're like, why are you here? Why are you here? And he's like, listen, why are you talking to me like that? In essence, David was saying, look at you guys. You've allowed this bully to bully you. Nobody's standing up for God. He said, I want to talk to the king. He found out what the rewards were. And then he said, I'm going to talk to Saul. Saul, they're like, this little kid here that says he can take that guy, because everybody was afraid. And then he went, and Saul could see, because Saul was an anointed man. So he could recognize anointings. See, anointings recognize anointings. Yeah? Just like power recognizes power. Yeah, he could see. He said, that guy, he knows something that I am supposed to be doing. But right now, I'm not ready to do it. And the Bible says that Saul now brought his armory and put it on David. What will sustain you in your life is not some new technology or some new stuff. What sustains you in your life is what you do every single day. What you are used to doing every single day. You know what? Many people wait till when they are sick before they start praying for health. Why don't you start praying and working out the healing right now? Many people are waiting for when they lose their job before they start praying for the best kind of work environment. You start using what you have right now. David was prepared. He's like, I don't use these things. I use a sling every time. I always know, you know, and I use my hand. I can use my hand. I can use my sling. I don't know nothing about no sword. I don't know nothing about it. I just use my sling. Now, guess what? When David comes to see Goliath, Goliath laughs. Ah! Who is this dog? Because David came with a bag, a stick, and everything was in there. He came with a stick to kill a man that was trained. Listen, let me tell you, the thing that you need to overcome in life is not as big as you think. It's not as big as you think. I sense in the spirit that there are many of you that are believing God for something. You want to move from one level to the next. By the way, the title of what I was going to preach about was 1 plus 1, connecting with relationships that matter for success in life. So I guess this is how the Holy Spirit wants me to preach it. 1 plus 1, right? You need some relationship that can take you to the next level. But you see, the thing is, many times we feel that the thing that we're going to need to take us from level A to level C is some big thing. No. God might require you to just do some simple, just obedience. Obey that simple instruction. When Moses was faced with a dilemma, there was a Red Sea right in front of him. There were the Egyptians behind him. He went to God and said, God, 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 I need help. I need to move from here across the sea. What can I do? God said, shut up. Stop yelling at me. Use what you have in your hand. You've got a stick. Point that stick. Now, in the mind of a man, that's the simplest, most stupidest thing you can ever think of to resolve that issue. But that was what God wanted him to do. There was a multitude. And the disciples said, these people are too plenty for us to feed. How much is going to cost us a lot of money to go to the market to buy food for everybody? And Jesus is like, you guys don't get it. God never uses plenty things to accomplish big things. He uses small things to accomplish big things. That's what is called leverage. And the leverage we have is our faith. 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 Hallelujah. He says faith as a seed. A seed is small. It doesn't say, you know, people say, okay, faith as small as a mustard seed, so it means small faith. No, Jesus Christ never celebrated little faith. That's why he kept saying, oh, you of little faith. Ah, your faith needs to move up. Oh, you of little faith. God uses, hallelujah. What God is saying here is that the thing that will take you from where you are to where you need to be is not something big. Stop looking at the big thing that you need to do to get to where you need to. Just start with the small thing. Start with what's in your house. So David used what was in his hand at the time, which was a sling. And then he went and picked up five stones, fresh stones. And you know, I just listened to another message which blessed me. You know, Goliath had five brothers. Yes, Goliath had five brothers. Read Judges. His other brothers that David's men later killed. Read it. There was one that even had 11 fingers, 11 toes. Giant. He was a brother of Goliath. It's in the Bible. Read it. Why are you guys looking at me like that? It's in the Bible. It's true. He had brothers. They were five. And they were all there too. They were there in the battle. So these were giants. Five giants, but Goliath was their champion. So David was not just contending against one Goliath. So I picked five stones. Because you see, if I get one, there's a likelihood that the other four might want to attack me, so I have to be ready too. So he picked the five of them, put them in his pocket, and went with a stick to address the champion. And the champion said, you think you can come and fight me with a stick? And David said, you know what is going to happen to you? Never cower to the bully. Tell the bully what you are going to do to him. David said, this is what I'm going to do to you right now. He rehearsed the victory. He said, right now, I'm going to hit your head. When I hit your head, I'm going to cut your head. And guess what? When David was saying that he had no sword. You're not getting this. You don't need to have the thing that people think you need to have to make progress in life. You are on a hunt for a sword to kill the Goliath. Whereas you ought to be speaking to the Goliath what's supposed to happen. And God, do you know you can even... Hey, God. Oh, my Lord. Ah, Father, help me. Help me. The thing you are scared of can even be used to your advantage. The thing you are scared of can be used to your advantage. I sense a strong... You know, there are some people, you are believing God for marriage. And you are looking for one big thing. You are looking for some kind of thing. The thing that you are scared of can be used to your advantage. I don't know, seller, think about it. It's for you. Process it however you want to process it. I'm speaking what God asked me to speak. He didn't go around looking for no sword. He told him, he said, I will cut your head off. How is he going to cut his head off with a stick? He's with a stick. Read it now, read it. Where, please, can you project it? In Kings, is it Kings? where David faced Goliath. He said, I'll cut your head and I'll feed it, show it to the birds. Telling Goliath exactly what Goliath told him. He said, I will do it to you. What you're trying to do to me, I will do it to you. You're trying to harass me, I'll harass you. And the Bible says that the man now said, okay, come, let me, I'll toy with you. Put a thing there. And the Bible says he ran towards Goliath. What you don't confront, you can never correct. What you don't confront, you can never correct. Stop running away from the bully. Stop running away from those things, those issues. Face it. And he ran towards him. Ran. He didn't cower. He ran towards him. And then, poo. You see, Goliath was wearing a helmet. You need to understand. He was wearing a helmet. But somehow, the Holy Spirit guided that stone to go in between the casing of the helmet to his head. And the thing knocked the giant down. David now proceeded to run. He said, I'll cut off your head. I'll strike you down. You see David telling you, he said, this day the Lord will hand you over to me. Again, it's not by power nor by might, but by the Spirit. He says, the Lord will hand you over to me. This is what I'll do. I'll strike you down first. Rehearse your victories. Rehearse your victories. Talk to the devil. Talk to the bully. Talk to the situation. He was telling the bully, he said, listen, this day the Lord will hand you over to me. I'll strike you down. I will cut off your head. He was saying this without a sword in his hand. I will cut off your head. And today I will give your carcass of the carcass of the Philistines, I mean, to the birds of the air, to the beast of the air. And the whole world will know. The purpose of your victory is for the world to know something. The purpose of your exaltation or your glory is for the world to know something. It's not for your self-actualization. It's not for your glorification. It's not for your edification. It is that the world may know that there is a God. You are an epistle written on behalf of God, showcasing his marvelous works and his identity to all men. Anytime we cower, anytime we live beneath our true identity, we disregard the God that is walking behind us. And so, what did David do? He did exactly what he said he would do. Hit him, struck him down. Got Goliath's own sword. Pulled that sword. You know, some scholars say Goliath was about between 9 to 13 feet tall. This is no joke. If you look at ancient, there are some places that were actually excavations where they believe giants lived because their ceilings were just too high. The bed, the way where they slept was is just too big for a regular sized human being to live. There were giants that roamed the air. This was a big 13 feet man. I think the tallest man that has ever lived is about 9 feet. Robert Waldo and all. But usually these tall people, they have so much problems, right? They have joints, all these joint stuff, you know what I mean? And so they're not really that strong. They don't live long. But this Goliath was a different breed of a giant. He was not only tall, but he was physically imposing. He was strong and he was agile. But David said, the Bible says David took the sword and cut off his neck. And then did this today. When first they couldn't, you know, I can just picture it. The stone hits Goliath's head, boom. Goliath falls with a big thumb. Boom. There is absolute silence in the camp of the Philistines and in the camp of Israel. They are waiting to see what David will do. David proceeds. I'm giving commentary. He proceeds swiftly to the giant. Pulls out the sword, the mighty sword from his sheath, probably staggering because the sword is so heavy. Places his feet on Goliath's face to make sure that he has correct aim when he strikes. And he strikes. Boom. Pulls the head up, turns the head to the Philistines. Guess what happens? Philistines say, oh my, ah! And they run. The children of Israel say, wow, what just happened? That's our cue to pursue. Come on, let's go. They chase and kill. That was how David's ministry began. You will not Begin your purpose until you have slain your Goliath. Kill your Goliaths. Destroy your Goliaths. Don't be intimidated by the Goliaths in your life. Are you planning to go to school? Go to school. Don't be afraid to go to school. Are you starting a new ministry? Do it. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. Hallelujah. There's someone inside of you that is bigger than your problems. There's someone inside of you that is bigger than your issues. When you take sides with him, 1 + 1, it equals power. When you plus God, it equals multiplication. You plus God equals exaltation. You plus God equals joy. 1 + 1. The most vital relationship we must cultivate is our relationship with God. That's the most vital one. Our relationship with God. When you stand with God and God stands with you, there's nothing. Nothing is impossible. Nothing. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. You know, many of us, we are trying to find our identity in people. That's what Pastor preached last week about Leah. We are trying to find our acceptance in people. We are trying to find our security in people. We are trying to find our purpose in people. But people cannot meet those four needs. Only God can meet those needs. Only God can meet those needs. Only God can meet those needs. There was a story of a Samaritan woman who had failed in her relationships. She had joined herself with the wrong people up to the point now that she was now married. She had been married 5 times and then she was shacking up with another guy. Messed up relationship. Until she met Jesus. The difference between your past and your future is a relationship. The difference between your past and your future is a relationship. And the difference between just a regular life and a supernatural life is a relationship with God. She was messed up until she met the fountain of living water. Jesus said, all these men you are trying to do, live with, they can't sustain you. You need to come to me and drink of me and you will be thirsty again. When you have a clear relationship with God, he teaches you how to have good relationship with people. He'll teach you how to relate with people. To those people that are single here, I still keep coming back to you. You want God to bring the right person in your life? Why don't you spend time with God? If you are here, you are married, and your marriage is on the rocks, instead of first trying to figure things out in your brain, why don't you take side with Him? 1 + 1. One with God is a majority. Hallelujah. 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 Not every relationship is important, only the right ones. Not every relationship is important, only the right ones. That's why Paul prayed that I want to know him. I just want to know him. I 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 don't feel like I'm permitted to speak concerning every other thing I've written here. I'm going to end here now. But I leave you with this. Where are you with God
Where are you with God? Is this thing we call Christianity just a fad or a religion or just something we do on Sundays? Or is it a reality in your life? Because it is those that know Him strong. God wants to be known. God is not hiding. Hallelujah. God is not hiding from you. He's revealed Himself through the things He's created. Hallelujah. He so much wants to show you who He is that when He made the sun, the moon, and the stars, He put some of His essence in this being, in this creation. That's why you can see God in anything He's created. But you know the problem? Many of us looked at His creation and we began to say, wow, what a wonderful creation. And instead of worshiping the God who created it, we began to worship the moon, the stars. We began to worship the trees that He created. There's a difference between the Creator and the creation. If you want to make progress in life, you must know the Creator. Brothers and sisters, I want to just challenge you today. A lot has been said. Take your relationship with God seriously. That's the most important relationship you can have. That relationship with God is an offshoot of all your other relationships. Know God. He wants to be known. You can know Him. His Spirit is there to teach you. Hallelujah. Can we rise up? Father God, I've spoken what You prompted me. I wrote all these things. I guess it's for another time. I just yielded myself to You today. I said I would yield to You. You know, as at yesterday, I didn't have anything to say. And I started writing and writing. And then I prayed. I said, God, I want You to speak Your word to Your people. I want Your people to really hear today. Not something out of my agenda, but just to hear. Lord, I've spoken.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.